Okay, Jan. You're on. Thank you, Jan.
Well, God bless you, everybody. Thank you, Bob and Jeannie, for the opportunity to share God's word tonight. It's always such a joy to do that. And this has been a wonderful week. We've been so blessed to have a week of powerful teachings. And for the sake of my teaching, I would just like to kind of recap what we've heard this week. Bob started out on Sunday with teaching about the two spiritual forces and the manifestation of discerning of spirits. And he exhorted us to put on the whole armor of God so that we could stand against the wiles of the devil. And then on Monday, Ron taught about the immensity of God's love for the undeserving world and his even greater love for us, his children. Then Barney's teaching on Tuesday regarding the amazing mustard seed showed us the characteristics of the faith we all have, the faith of Jesus Christ. And then Wednesday, Rebecca reminded us that not only are we fearfully and wonderfully made, but that we were made to worship God, and that is what he loves. Then last night, Bob shared about God's longing for sons and daughters, and that is God's good pleasure to have you, each one of us in his family. Each child is precious to our Father. Now, I know it's true for me, and I think it's true for the others that have shared the word this week, that we do not collaborate on what we're going to share. It's God and Christ within each of us that directs each teacher as to what God would like to have his children hear each night. And as I listened to Bob's awesome teaching last night, I could see the groundwork that God had laid for what he was working in my heart to share with you tonight. And this sharing I have entitled, That I May Know Him. Have you ever noticed how picturesque the records in the Gospels and even the Old Testament are? And yet the scriptures written to us in the New Testament, the epistles, though quite powerful, do not contain the same level of physical detail and description as can be found in the Old Testament and the Gospels. Have you ever wondered why that is? Do you tend to gravitate to the more descriptive sections of the scripture because of the pictures they evoke?
Mm-hmm.
I've had so many people tell me that they just don't get it when they read the epistles. Mm-hmm. I've given this issue much thought, and I believe God has begun to show me why that is. The major part of the reason begins with what Bob shared on Sunday. If you were God's archenemy, having been handed your indisputable defeat with the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, and then with the giving of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that empowered believers to defeat you at every turn, what would be your strategy to get them to back off? Well, first, you might start with prompting a total disregard for the Word of God. If that didn't work, next you might attack the righteousness of the believer, because without standing on their righteousness, but rather standing in condemnation, a Christian believer is rendered powerless. Then if the old condemnation trick didn't work, you might get them to focus on their own faith, rather than on the faith they received when they were born again, the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith that believes to the uttermost. Finally, if that doesn't work, you get them to focus on their feelings, since spirit can't be felt, and get them to question whether God actually hears them when they talk to him, when they pray, especially if the enemy is able to make it appear that prayers aren't being answered by causing symptoms or situations to look worse than maybe when the person first started to pray. After all, the trick that worked with Adam and Eve in the garden is literally, one of the oldest tricks in the book. Divert man's eyes from God to the five senses, and you'll get them every time. This is where it is critical that we remember that we are spirit beings. God has made us complete in Christ, and that is something we cannot see, hear, smell, taste, or touch. It is ascertained spiritually. I'd like to go back to a scripture that Bob shared last night that perfectly illustrates this truth. And it's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That is a very profound truth, worth more than anything this earth could ever provide for any person. No amount of money could ever purchase all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Yet there are times when we can read that and not be stirred by the magnitude of what God is saying. That in no way diminishes the truth of what is said, but it does limit what that truth can do for us. And if you're like me, you don't want to do anything that will limit the power of God, of anything that God has given. How do we get around this? After all, until the Lord returns and we receive our new bodies, we will be somewhat hampered by our five senses. But not to worry, God always has a solution. The Holy Spirit that has been placed within us has a strong desire to see the things of God, to fellowship with God, and to manifest the power of God because it is the Spirit of Christ. The characteristics of that beautiful spirit can be seen when we read the gospel records regarding the works of Jesus Christ. We thank God as our Father, believing in his word is true and that he loves us. We worship with him, but speak to him, and we want with him. We have an intimate relationship. We take time to spend time with him and him alone, with nothing else on our plate. We praise him. We worship him via the Spirit. We worship him with our understanding. We sing to him. We laugh with him. We give him our full attention, and we expect to hear from him. We expect there to be a connection because God said it. If God said it, that is what we expect. We must remember that everything that we have is by God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So if everything we have is by God's grace, we should never get hung up on our faith. Faith acknowledges what has already been done. It doesn't make it happen. Something isn't real because we have faith. You see the difference? We don't make things happen by... God has done so many wonderful things for us, and our faith simply acknowledges what was done and receives it. You know, this... I want to share an incident that happened a few years ago when I was driving our older daughter Elizabeth to high school. And at the time, you know, I had 4 school-age children. I never knew if I had even 50 cents in my wallet because everybody always needed money for something. And this particular day, we're driving down the road, and Elizabeth says, "Hey, Mom, can I have some money to take to school?" And I said, "Well, I don't know if I have any money, huh?" She, "Oh, yeah, you do. You have $13.
Oh.
I said, "Oh, okay. Well, how much do you need?" She said, "Well, I need $10 unless I can have $13. She wasn't thinking about having faith to receive the cash. She fully expected to go into school with money in her pocket. And God taught me a wonderful thing that day, and I never forgot that incident because she didn't laugh. She said, "Hey, I need $10, but if I can take everything you've got, I'll take that too." God wants us to be bold. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to tell Him what it is we need. He wants to know what's on our heart. So often I've talked to believers, and I've done it myself, but you run down the list of things that you've done. I've confessed, I've listened to teachings, I've prayed, I've taken believing actions, I've listened to testimonies, and yet the answer that you're looking for, be it healing or financial needs met or a relationship restored, has not yet manifested. It's almost like calling the bank to tell them that, "Well, I put my card in the ATM and I entered my PIN, and I pressed all of the buttons, and yet the money didn't come out. What's wrong with that ATM?" Our prayer life is not intended to be a guessing game where we wonder if we hit all the right buttons to get the response we're looking from God. We must always remember that God is our Father, and it was His desire to have children who would love Him. And that's why He initiated this beautiful family that we belong to. He loves to hang out with His kids. He desires that we come to Him with everything. And as with any good father, He will handle each individual situation with each individual child appropriately. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Starting in verse 25, it says, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." When we take the time to go to God and meditate on His Word and talk to Him about His Word, and about what's going on in our lives, and about the things we want to understand, the life of the spiritual relationship that we develop with Him will be electrifying. Your time with Him will be so exhilarating. It'll be just like it was for Jesus Christ. It tells us in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, that the Lord would rise up early in the morning before day, and He would go out to a solitary place, and there He would pray. He would commune with His Father. How excited do you think God got to have this time with His Son? How exciting do you think this time was for Jesus Christ? Well, Philippians 2, verse 13 tells us that it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Good pleasure is far from humdrum. Our times with Him will be exciting and rewarding. As we spend focused time with our Father, we will grow in our confidence that He hears us, and we will be totally unconscious of using our faith. Just like the incident that Vicki shared the other day when she burned her hand. She just went to her Father, and He took care of her. Rebecca shared that God never forces us to worship Him, but He loves it when we do. Well, just like you never have to be forced to say wonderful things about someone with whom you have a close and intimate relationship, you will find that your worship flows naturally from the Spirit of Christ within without compulsion. Seek time to hang out with God in the Spirit, and you will be amazed at how vividly the scriptures and the epistles come to light, because you will be looking not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are unseen. And to close, I'd like to look at Colossians chapter 2. Starting in verse 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." We can certainly walk with God in an intimate and vital relationship, just as our Lord did. All we need to do is take the step toward God, expecting Him to be there, and be exhilarated by the relationship that develops. God bless you guys. Thank you.